I'll start by saying that about 7 or 8 years ago, my youngest son moved back to Virginia, been married, and it was a place that my wife and I wanted to get to as, as soon as we could to get back there. They had just purchased a home, and there was a lot of exciting things happening in their lives, and we wanted to be able to get back there and share it with him. But unfortunately, over the years, in the last 5 years, I've had almost five surgeries, and needless to say, it kind of kept us from going back there. One of the surgeries was a knee replacement. Another one was a defibrillator that I had put on in, and so needless to say, there was a few things going on with me. And finally, about 5 months ago, we decided that I think it was going to be the right time for us to finally make our way back there. And let me preface this by saying I don't do a lot of traveling, primarily because of a bladder surgery I had that kind of went bad. I've been sleeping in a chair for the last 5 years. So that makes it a little awkward when I were to go somewhere and say, "Hey, where's your recliner? I need to sleep in it." And if it's not the same as mine, I'm 6'4", 240 pounds. So, sleeping in the chair isn't really the most ideal situation, but it's something that I've had to adapt to, and I have. So with all that said, we had our tickets ready to go. And at the last hour, I got a call from my daughter and said, "Hey, my granddaughter's got a couple days off from vacation. Do you mind taking her with you?" And she's 15 years old. And I thought, "Oh, sure. What, we'll all enjoy each other." My daughter said, "Oh, she'll help you in the airport, with the baggage, and getting through terminals is challenging with the metal that I have in. I'm going through all these detectors and taking shoes off, and it can be a little precarious at times." But anyway, we get to the airport, and well, prior to that, let me set this up. Got up early that morning, and we set medicines out. My wife has her blood pressure medicine, and I have mine. And so, in the excitement of getting up and getting ready, unbeknownst to me, I took her blood pressure medicine. And so when she comes around the corner, she said, where's my medicine?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "It was right there." I said, "Oh, that was yours. It looked just like mine." So that started it off. I thought, "Oh my God, I took her medicine. Now I got to take mine." I'm not too confident in what could happen. It's not exactly an ideal situation, but with that said, I asked God to, clear everything up. Everything's going to be fine. So get to the airport, and my granddaughter, it looked like she was in a race to get around the terminals. And us being in our latter years, we were not able to keep up with her very well. So I thought, well, that didn't work out very well. It almost seemed like she was not really anxious to hang around a couple of two old people there. So that was kind of nerve-wracking. And I later found out when I got back that I suffered my first AFib in the terminal that morning. It's not something you want to have happen to you, but went through that. So get back to Virginia. My son had a pretty good setup as far as he was concerned. We would be down in his basement, and he had an air mattress and bathroom down there, and he said, "You got all the accommodations. Not a Hilton, but you should enjoy it." So we get down there, and it gets cold back there, and especially a concrete basement, and being on an air mattress, and he had the air conditioner on all the time. My son just needs it cold. And so, I'm sitting up, in this air mattress leaning against the wall while Leslie's laying down. We got four blankets on us, and I got we have our jackets on. We're fully clothed. It was that cold. And so needless to say, sitting up and with those conditions, I didn't sleep much in 4 days. I think the best night's sleep I had was maybe 2 hours. So I was, and then my grandson would wake up about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and he would be running around the upstairs, and I could hear the banging and everything. So even if I had some sleep, you know, he was there to wake me up. But with that said, it started to cause a little rift, because I would, you know, wake up, I would get up, I'd go upstairs, and I'd ask my son, do you have coffee? I don't drink coffee, but I was so cold that I thought, okay, you know, that warm cup of coffee is really going to help you out. And that served to be kind of counterproductive, because it just really did a number on me. And a day two later, I ended up kind of getting a little dizzy and ended up having a AFib, where my blood pressure went up about 180 over about 120, and we were about ready to go to the ER. But I said, well, let's wait, because this defibrillator is supposed to kick in and take care of it. So with all that added stress of that happening, you know, not being sleep deprived, needless to say that the trip didn't get off on a really good foot. I and then my son, being that he works at the Capitol, he wanted to share his workplace, and it involved a lot of walking. And he did get a wheelchair, but I gave that to Leslie, and I was able to push her. But it still meant a lot of walking, and you know, when you're sleep deprived, we were both drained. But what began to happen was, things were being said, and it became very awkward, very uncomfortable. We were supposed to go. We went to the a couple different places, and things didn't work out well. So by the time that this wonderful trip ended, something that I had looked forward to for years, we get back to San Diego. My son at that point wasn't even talking to me, and I slept for the next 2 days. Just trying to catch up on all the lost sleep. So what happened was, my kids decided that they weren't going to talk to me, and I couldn't believe it. Number one, that something that was supposed to be really special, it turned out to be such a nightmare, and not having my kids understand completely what I was going through made it even worse. You know, me thinking, okay, I'm their dad. Let's show some respect. You know, the word, states that clearly. What I soon found out was that they weren't going to budge. And so I'm in a situation where I think, well, if that's how they're going to act, then, I'm just going to go on with my life. And I began to, fill my day up with, I'm an avid golfer. I was golfing, I was working out, I was doing everything I felt would keep me, just okay with the way the situation was with my kids. And so, but it was really a lot of suffering on my part, trying to figure out what was going on. I wasn't comfortable, I wasn't happy, but I thought, no, I'm not gonna budge. I feel like they need to be the ones that need to make amends with me. But what happened was none of that happened. So, 2 nights ago, I woke up early, and what came to me was a nudge from my Heavenly Father. Cause over the years with all these surgeries, I've really called on my Heavenly Father to help me, get me through some pretty tough situations. And he said, you need to text your son. And I was very reluctant, but I could just, it was so clear. So I woke up, I went to my phone, I wrote down something, and I was really challenged with sending it. But I just felt again, you know, why am I doing this? Why, you know, why are they not the ones that are coming forth? And what I realized was I was setting myself up with all these expectations as far as what they should be doing. And clearly it was me, it was on me. You know, I was more or less almost playing the victim role. And I sent this text, finally pushed the button. And what really also showed up was the forgiveness part, along with, you know, the expectations. And didn't know how my son was going to respond, sent it off, and within about a half hour, he sent me a response. And I clearly, in my message, it was very short, very concise, and I said, I'm asking for your forgiveness, and I said, can we just move forward? And his response was, yes, we can move forward. And it really, for me, you know, I've never been one. I've tried a lot of religions. I've been through Buddhism. I've been through spiritualism. I've been a seeker. I've been a Unitarian. But clearly, what happened to me was it was the conversation between myself and my Heavenly Father. You know, if He's our Father, I thought, you know, let's talk to Him. But you know, this, you know, one on one, and I really have been able to understand that that's what's expected of us. You know, talk about expectations, is He wants us to go to Him for every situation we have. And clearly he was the answer. He solved my problem. And I could have still to this day, through my stubbornness, and not my unwillingness to be the one that, you know, started the ball rolling, but because of that nudge, I woke up. And I said, I went to my phone, and again, just that simple little text freed me up yesterday, and it was probably the most joyful day I've ever had, because when we have challenges with our kids, you know, I've really never had anything that challenging. But I also believe that in our pain and in our suffering comes tremendous growth, and I can honestly say that, you know, my appreciation today for the relationships that I have in my life, you know, they're not to be taken for granted. And I think that, you know, when we appreciate that, you know, what people are going through, what they're doing, where they're at, don't put expectations on them. You know, keep them on yourself. And for me, it was a valuable lesson. It was one that really changed my life. And when Barney asked me to give this testimony, I didn't write any of this down. It's just kind of, you know, something right out of my heart. But I hope that, you know, if anybody out there is dealing with any kind of a situation that you feel that, you know, that they were in the wrong, that you did nothing wrong, I think what Jesus is a perfect example. You know, here's a man that did nothing wrong, and yet they put him on a cross with nails in his hands and feet. And I think it's a lesson that for me, you know, I constantly look at, and I realize that for me, my challenges are pretty small, but what I need to do is make the right decision and just forgive. So with that said, I appreciate the opportunity to give this testimony, and God bless.
Yeah, thank you. I do have, in closing, a couple of places I think would be really awesome to just have a quick look at. And first place is in Colossians chapter 3. Thank you so much, George, for sharing that testimony. That really moved my heart. And just a little backstory for those of you, George and I have been praying about this situation for, oh gosh, quite a period of time. And I know it's been heavy on his heart because he's shared quite a bit about it. And I think over the course of our conversations, forgiveness was a topic that did come up. But I think when you really get down to where, let's say, the rubber meets the road, the truth is that a lack of forgiveness is really harder on you than it is to the person who caused the offense. Because in some respects, they don't even know what they did, or they forgot about it, or they don't care. And it's not even that you have to get them to admit what they did. It's that our only responsibility, I believe, is to offer forgiveness. And if it ends up being a two-way street with a fellow brother or sister, then hallelujah. But if it ends up only being one way, then you know what? You've done your, let's say, due diligence to rectify the situation. I'll never forget a statement Joyce Myers made where she said, unforgiveness is like giving, is like taking poison and thinking it's going to kill your enemy. Think about that. Really what it does is it just disturbs our lives. And if it's not rectified, it can really do some damage, which ultimately can really turn into a lot of resentment and bitterness. So best to get rid of it. I say one of the simple tenets of Christianity and Christian living is that is forgiveness. And that is reinforced constantly throughout Scripture. We've been forgiven for a lot and things we don't even remember. But in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, there's an exhortation given by God via Paul by revelation that says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of protection. In Ephesians chapter 4, this one is a one you've probably heard many times before, and one for a good retemory. But I think to be so loud and clear, especially in light of what we're discussing and talking about here tonight. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I think that's a real key. It's that we can remember what we have been forgiven for, and the kind of mercy that was extended to us. Will never have an issue, never have a problem forgiving others, no matter how deeply we've been hurt or how deeply we've been offended. We can forgive. We can release that anger and that offense and just let it go. Give it to God and let it go. And you will no longer have to face that particular burden that we all are challenged with at times in our lives.